This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is the Your Living Brand Live show. It's 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. Welcome. I want to welcome everybody once again to this wonderful show, and thank you very much for showing up week after week. This week, you know, we have a phenomenal guest. I'll bring her on in a few minutes. Her name is Kirsten Anderson. She's got a company called Integrated Play. So go get your Lego, dust it off, bring it to the table, and while you're listening to it, we're going to have a blast, because what she believes in and what she teaches is the power of using play in the workforce to be able to get that creativity going. So we're going to be speaking to her a few minutes, so I'm going to have a blast doing that. So first of all, welcome. Welcome to, you know, to Rebel, my wonderful sound engineer. Thank you for making me sound so wonderful and keeping me organized week after week. And welcome to everybody in the audience. You know, love to hear you, love to see your questions, love answering your questions. So keep them coming and we're going to have a great time. This week, I wanted to talk to you guys about, you know, a great event that I'm going to tonight. I'm going to a LinkedIn local, and I'm actually speaking at a LinkedIn local. One of my friends, with Karen Tischler, is actually doing the LinkedIn local here in Vancouver, and I couldn't be more excited. There's an event coming up early in June that she is going to be going to, and she's wrapping the whole event tonight around the Women Deliver 2019 Global Conference. And this conference is 4,000 or 5,000 phenomenal women from around the world that are looking to sit there and say, how can we make the world better? You know, the Prime Minister of Canada is going to be speaking. There's going to be delegates from all over the world. There's going to be international speakers there. It's going to be 3 or 4 days of just jam-packed information, and Karen's going to be going to it. And a lot of people that are going to be there tonight are going to be going to that conference. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town, so I can't go, but this is just one of those things where I'm going to get to meet a bunch of them, you know, people that are going to be at this conference for 4 days and be able to, you know, shake hands and talk to them. But what I want to talk to them about, and what I want to talk to you about today, is the value of knowing your brand, the value of knowing who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and be able to articulate it effectively. Because too many people sit there and say, I'm an architect, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm an accountant, I'm whatever. And people look at you and go, okay, I had an accountant, he's pretty boring. Or I had a lawyer, you know what, they overcharged me. Or I had a doctor and I just didn't trust them. And you get lumped in with a whole bunch of people that you really don't want to get lumped in with, just by saying that I am part of the profession. And there's nothing wrong with being part of whatever profession you are. You should be proud of it. But you also need to be able to differentiate yourself and separate yourself from the crowd within the profession that you're in. And the way that you do that, and the topic that I'm going to talk about today, tonight, is it's talking about what are the problems you specifically solve and who do you solve those problems for. Now, in particular, let's talk about me. I solve problems for B2B companies that have problems with retaining and growing rockstar millennial employees. That's what I do. So I work with companies that are 50 to 500 people, and I do consulting and workshops to help them retain and grow their rockstar millennial employees. It's really simple. That's it. That's what I do, and that's my lane. That's what I specialize in. And the more that you can figure out exactly what you do and how you solve specific problems, the more valuable you become to people, because what you're doing is you're qualifying people. Are these people that are actually my audience? Are these people that actually care about me? are these people that I can actually solve a problem for? And when you articulate your value in a way where you say, this is who I help and this is how I help them, it makes it easy for them to say, oh, wait a second, I have that problem. I want to find out more. And it starts the conversation and it allows the conversation to go to a different level instead of saying, I'm a marketer, I'm a brander. You know, because when I do that, people, first of all, don't really know what I do and they don't understand the value that I have to them. But if you can make the conversation relevant to the people that you're talking to and speak in a language that is, you know, they can understand and they sit there and say, oh, wait a second, that's a problem that I have. Maybe this person can fix it. They're more willing to lean in, to ask questions, to find out more about you, to see if you are the person that can actually help them. And that's important. We got our first question. Would it be nice to stand on your own? How do you get people to know you are different? Now, there we go. So, you know, that's a great thing is you need to be able to stand on your own. And I guess what I was just saying is probably the most important thing is to sit there and say, you know, what are the little things that I do that are different from everybody else? What are the things that I'm passionate about? And what are the things that I'm good at? And how do I marry the two of those things? You know, you could be a lawyer that is passionate about, you know, families and be able to sit there and say, I help families do this. And that's what you do. And that's how you differentiate yourself within the legal profession. Or you say, I'm a marketer that deals with small companies to help them, you know, communicate their value and separate themselves from the crowd. Wait a second, in a cost-effective way, small businesses will take a look at that and say, how do you help me differentiate myself in a cost-effective way? If we can look at the people that we're talking to and be able to sit there and say, what's relevant to them? What's important to them? What is making them tear their hair out? What's making them stay up at night and figure out, okay, either personally or professionally, you know, what are the challenges that they have? And sit there and say, can I honestly help this person? There's 7.5 billion people in the world. You can't help everybody. Everybody with a heartbeat and a Visa card is not your client. I don't care if, you know, they're either not your friend on a personal level or they're not your client on a professional level or they're, you know, they're not an employer or an employee or whatever. It's the people that have the need for the service that you can provide. Those are the people that you can help. And those are the people you need to sit there and say, honestly, what do I really do? You know, what do I really provide in terms of value? What are the skills that I have? What am I really, really good at? What do I really, really love to do? And be able to break that down and be able to make that into I help these people solve this problem. Because if you can bring it down to that level and be able to start every conversation like that, you're going to have a better chance of qualifying people very quickly to sit there and say, this person is either someone who gets me, somebody that needs what I need, or somebody that can I can help, or someone that, you know what, they could either be maybe be a nice friend, but they're not, you know, they're not anybody who's going to put money in my pocket. And that's okay. You know, it's almost as good to find people that are going to say no to you right away and people say yes, because the people who say no that are not wasting your time. Those are the people who are not sitting there going, well, let me find out more. Let me spend, if you spend more time and my energy on me, well, maybe this, that, and the other thing. Well, no, if they don't have a need, if you can't solve a problem that they have, you know what? Better that you spend your time and your energy and your effort on somebody that can. You know, look for the people that are like that, because the people that you can actually solve problems with have friends and acquaintances and colleagues that have similar types of problems. And they're going to sit there and go, you know what? That Ben guy, that Jane girl, that whatever, they're able to help me do this. They can help you too. And that's how your tribe grows. That's how things get bigger and bigger and bigger, by wowing and creating customer experiences for the people that you can truly and absolutely help. You know, if we focus on those people, if we focus on their needs, if we understand who they are, what the challenges that they're facing that particular day, that week, that month, that year, whatever, and really delve into it to sit there and say, okay, can we solve that problem? And be honest. Be honest with yourself. If you can't solve their problem, tell them that you can't solve their problem and sit there and say, okay, do I know somebody that can solve their problem? let me refer them. Sit there and say, you know what? I know a doctor who absolutely specializes in that. Let me give you their name. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're making yourself far more credible. You're making yourself somebody who is valuable. You know, you might not have gotten that sale. You may not have gotten that client. You may not have done that. But what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position where you're being seen as, and your brand is being seen as, somebody who is more, far more interested in them than a quick dollar. And if you can be that person, be perceived as that, they're going to tell people about you, whether you help them or not, because you did help them. You may not have solved their problem directly, but you pointed them in the right direction without any, you know, value to you whatsoever. You just did that because it helped them out. And if you can be that person that thinks about the client first and has a service mentality and believes in creating customer experiences that allow people to be better, it will always come back to you. People will always talk about it. People will always talk about you and sit there and say, I remember this person. You know what? I didn't need them 6 months ago, but I need them now. Or wait a second, my friend needs somebody like that. Who is that person? Oh yeah, right. This is who that person was. I remember them. You know, I'm going to be able to refer them to my friend. And that's what you want to be. You want to be that person that sticks in people's minds. You want to be that person that sits there and says, you know what? I really trusted that person. I really liked that person. I really felt that they were working for my best interest and not just looking to make a dollar off of me. Because if you can be that person, that's your brand. That's who you are. That's how you build relationships, and that's how you build a following, by being that person that people can sit there and say, you know what? I trust this person. Because if they trust you, you build influence. And they're going to tell people that are going to be able to be customers of yours time and time again. So let's go out for a quick commercial. And when we come back, let's talk to Kirsten. I'm getting my Lego ready. Talk to you soon.
This is Ben Baker of the Your Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand Live Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Ben Baker. This is K4HD. And I want to introduce Kirsten. Kirsten, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am. Thank you.
It's a rare, beautiful thing when technology works. I absolutely love it. You know, Kirsten, you and I had a chance to play together at the BCIT Leadership Conference a couple of months ago, and I had a blast. Yeah, you were leading a workshop that I was part of, and we got to roll up our sleeves and, you know, dig deep and have a lot of fun. And, you know, so I wanted to have you on the show and let you tell your story, because it's fascinating. I want to find out, you know, where you came from, where you are, and where you're going with this group, because, you know, you came from the toy industry. So why don't we start there and build the story out from there?
Build it with Lego bricks.
Absolutely.
Well, in the beginning, I played a lot. So my background is in the toy industry, and I came upon that fairly honestly because I got sucked out of Capilano University and BCIT, where I was looking at a special events marketing, and my mom opened up a toy store. So she said, would you come and manage this toy store for me? And so I dropped out of college and started managing that, became a buyer there. We traveled the world looking for really special playthings that were not found in the big box stores. Did a lot of interviews on TV, and then after about 10 years, decided it was time for me to open up my own store. And I was 29 and flew the coop, opened up my own very European-styled toy store in Port Moody, BC. It looked like something out of John Christian Andersen, like a very fairy tale store packed to the rafters with very European award-winning toys. And we called ourselves Toyologists. So as far as branding went, it was instantly memorable. We wore white lab coats. We had prescription pads. So when people came in, and we spent a lot of time diagnosing their needs, who they were buying for. It wasn't just like, oh, this is the hottest, latest thing. We really dug deep, and then we were able to have that sales conversation that was specific to them. And people remembered us because of that, and because of the branding and the specialized service.
Well, so the experience you created as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't something that you were going to find everywhere.
Absolutely.
And we, amazingly, within, I think, the first month of being open, we got national news coverage. And shortly after that, ended up getting a spot on Global TV on their news once a month as their play expert. So I'd bring in, you know, play things and talk about what the latest things on play were in different categories, whether it was summer or Christmas or back to school time, puzzles, games, adults, all the whole range. And so those were live interviews, and that went on for 12 years. And yeah. Then it was like, I became obsessed with the fact that there was this major play deficit for children. Then I realized how bad it was for teenagers, and then started looking at the workplace and how adults weren't really playing, and they were saving it up for the weekends, or they'd be super exhausted when they got to the weekends and not playing. Has it ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a kind of common.
Yeah, the weekend comes and what do? I mow the lawn. You know, that's the exciting I get to do.
Yeah, the weekends are as full of work as the weekdays are, and working to live instead of living to work. And I was also starting to dig deeper into how play benefits the workplace itself, not just outside of work. And once I started researching that and linking it to all the benefits that I had already known for the last 25 years of play for children, and realized that all these benefits that kids were getting, the evolutionary, I mean, we play for an evolutionary reason. It's for survival. That's not, you know, we can't really live without play, you know, as children and adults, not to our biggest potential. So I'm helping people live out their full potential in and outside of work, and especially all those skills that robots don't have. So that's where the leaders get excited to bring me in now, because they do have a lot of people that are moving into, maybe they weren't in a customer-facing role, or they weren't in a leadership role, and now they are. And they may not have the people skills. And so by bringing in play, we can help them build those relationships, those communication skills, the emotional intelligence, even have better sales conversations. And all of that results in better retention, happier workplaces, and even improved health. So it's pretty fulfilling work for me now.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, I'll go back to your previous career and then to be able to mm-hmm. say thank you, because you know what? My wife was one of those people that watched your global show, and I'm sure half the, you know, the toys that were sitting in our closet at the time that my son played with were probably your recommendations that came out of your show. So, you know, thank you for spending my money. I appreciate that.
But we call that pennies per playtime, right? Because you're actually buying toys that would last a long time. It wasn't like a quick fad that was in and out. So that was it was very fulfilling, because people were buying quality versus quantity.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's a big deal, is to be able to sit there and say, it's not just buying something for the now, it's buying something that's going to last, mm-hmm. you know, and you may spend a little bit more money for it today, but if you amortize it and sit there and say, I don't care whether it's, you know, a toy or a computer or whatever, you know, if you sit there and say, okay, what's the long-term value of this? And if people start thinking about long-term value, they're going to have far better return on their investment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I look at that from your point of view with the play, because I look at play as huge return on investment for being able to engage employees, because right now, somebody told me the other day, I'm actually researching a new book called Retaining Rockstar Employees. And somebody told me the other day that 70% of employees today are disengaged and 50% of employees are actually out there looking for a new job. And it just made me shake my head of the vast number of that and the, you know, the productivity that's being lost, you know, and the money that's being spent because employees don't feel that the companies that they work for either give a damn about them or are interested in helping them achieve their potential. You know, so how do you go into companies and be able to help solve those type of problems? Because engagement, you know, every manager, every HR person, every CEO that I talk to talks about engagement. You know, how do you help, you know, not only, you know, for the moment that you're there, but build long-term engagement and help move the needle in that regard?
Well, I love that you talked about moving the needle, because what is shocking to me is how the needle is not moving. That it has
been. It's going
been,
backwards.
Yeah, it's just been so bad for so long. And yet the research is out there about, you know, how to improve engagement. And you mentioned the word potential and purpose. And I would add play to that trifecta. Yep. So it is definitely about purpose, which can be discovered through using playful methods. And pulling out people's potential can definitely be, you know, we can work with companies to pull out the potential of each person. And then the companies can use that in a strengths-based way to go forwards. And then about those relationships, you know, when people feel like they have friends at work, they feel that much more engaged. So what are the relationships like at work? How are you working on your relationships? Or is it just, you know, you come to the office head down, you know, focused on the to-do list without giving the attention and the time that is required to keep those relationships fresh and engaged and, you know, giving attention to the people who need it, you know, whether you're in leadership or you're not, you know, we're all leaders. So we can all take a step in that direction, whether, you know, whether there's a hierarchy or not.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you hear about all these retreats that people go on, and they go mm-hmm. on these retreats, you know, and they go canoeing together, or they go rock climbing mm-hmm. together, or they, you know, go bowling together, or whatever they do. Yeah. But it's very fleeting, you know, it's very fleeting. And my thing is I want to know, how do you go beyond the event of the day? How do you take what you're teaching and make it more meaningful for people long term, and getting people to change the culture within the organization? Because that's what we're really trying to do. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to change the culture and be able to help people understand that it's not just coming in and Kirsten comes in and we're going to play with Lego for the next 4 hours. It's let's change the organization mentality moving forward.
Absolutely. And so there's so much there. There's so much there. Well, when you talk about retreats and bowling, so part of that, say you're going to a baseball game or you're going bowling or you're going out for dinner, a lot of that is fun for fun's sake. And there's value in that. And, you know, a ropes course, there's value in that. What doesn't usually happen at the end of those fun for fun's sake events, they're called team building, but they may be superficially team building, or they may be, like you said, fleeting. It may be a temporary boost. How deep are people getting to know each other in those situations? And there certainly isn't a debrief afterwards about what did we learn in that situation and how do we take that forwards into our team.
Right.
So when I work with the Lego Series Play, which is really the most popular service that I offer, the two main reasons why people come to me for using the Lego Series Play, one is around the team cohesion. So they might have siloed teams that are really working. Some of them might even be dispersed teams, so they're working remotely, or they're just working in two different offices, or they're working all over North America and they come in. Then we have usually a 3 to 4 hour or a 7 or 8 hour session together where we dig into what's working, what's not, creating a vision together, you know, guiding principles for going forwards, an action plan, So we're using the Lego as a playful tool, but it's because you can visualize things, you can prototype solutions, and you have this 3D artifact in front of you where you're peeling back the layers. And as you tell the story and you're describing your answer to the question that I've posed, which gets progressively more powerful, the questions throughout the day, people are able to talk about things that aren't necessarily comfortable to talk about in an office setting, or if they were just writing it on a post-it note when you're building it.
Right.
With Lego, there's humor involved. There's, metaphors that are kind of funny. Even though you're talking about things that maybe there's some tension or some conflict in the office, these things are able to be discussed in an open setting. You build up that trust with each other. So that is to get that feedback at the end of the day, where people say, I was able to talk about things I've never been able to talk about before, or I have never felt like my workplace was like a family, but yet it felt like that today. I just think that has a profound effect that lasts long term.
Yeah.
And when they take those action points and they have a memory of some of them will actually buy the Lego to take back because they want a little artifact to take back. But even just taking a photo of it and looking at what they built and the stories that they connected together through pipe cleaners and strings and connected all their ideas together can be super powerful. The other part of it is creativity and innovation. So some people really want to work on how staying relevant. So they're looking at how can they make their team more creative and innovative.
Right. So, the Lego or the pipe cleaners, whatever you're using in that particular day, is just a method to get people to relax and open up and be able to have those discussions in a way because they're already engaged. They're already vulnerable to a level, and you're engaging them on a multi-sensory basis, so they're able to work together in a more collaborative way. So it's just a vehicle that you're using to be able to facilitate the communication to help people, be better engaged within their groups, or to be able to have those open communications, or suss out what the problems really are within the company.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if engagement is one of the challenges that they're dealing with, and some of them may not even want to use the word engagement,
right,
because they're getting super low scores on their surveys, we can use creative problem solving techniques that have been around for 50 years. We can use design thinking, which amazingly is not being used enough in organizations.
I love design thinking.
Love it.
Love design thinking.
So that's a big part of, just introducing design thinking. That takes a half a day. To really get to the root of what is the actual problem, because design thinking, a lot of people just go straight to brainstorming.
Yeah, explain quickly what design thinking is, just in case my audience doesn't understand it.
For sure, yeah. The thing about design thinking, IDEO is a good place to look as far as what's going on there, but empathy is another area that I love to work in, creating empathy within the workplace. We actually use empathy toys. And that is one of the first stages of design thinking, where you actually are diving deep into what your end user or your employee, depending on what challenge you're working on, what they really think, what they see, what they feel, what are they saying, what are they actually doing? Because some of those things are actually in conflict with each other.
Right.
So if we make assumptions about our end user, whether it's employee or customer, then we're missing the mark in defining the problem, which is the next stage of design thinking, where you actually are defining the problem.
Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. And I thought it's really important when people sit there and they talk about empathy and they talk about active listening.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people in this world today are truly empathetic and truly are active listeners. People listen to talk. People listen to get their idea out next instead of actually listening to what the person is thinking about and sit there going, what's going on in their head? What are the challenges that they're facing? How do I understand their point of view better? You don't have to believe everything that the other person believes, but if you can understand it from their point of view, it makes communication so much better and so much more relevant.
I 100% agree. And wouldn't the world be a better place if we were doing more of that act of listening, more of that empathizing on all levels, personally, professionally, politically, actually listening to everyone and all their views, right? And,
right.
And then getting to definition. So, yeah, those two stages do really get skipped over by, so maybe leadership comes in and says, this is our problem. Let's all sit down and do a brainstorming session. Well, that's the identification of the problem by one person. And when you bring a diverse group of people together, which is a beauty of LEGO Serious Play as well, is that you're bringing a lot of different perspectives, and 100% of the people are having their voices heard equal time. So it's completely democratic, back to the political side of things. Yeah. Everyone is heard equally, because so often there'll be an introvert in the room, or there can be someone who wants to save face. There can be a cultural issue where people don't want to speak up and they have brilliant ideas because they have different experiences, different background, and those ideas aren't coming to the surface for many reasons. So this way, everyone takes turns. They all get 1 minute or 2 minutes to describe the model that they built. So that would be kind of our ideation stage and our prototyping stage, you know, saying, what if we tried this? What if we did this? And then you move on to the final stage, which is testing it out. And some people put a sixth stage on that, which would be rolling it out.
Right.
Your idea. Yeah. That's kind of a little mini summary of design thinking.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you were saying is about, you know, different people have different viewpoints. It's amazing when you get a whole bunch of people from various departments in a room and you ask them the same question that says, what is the major, biggest communication challenge that we have? Different departments are going to answer that question very differently. And it is amazing to me where, you know, marketing and salespeople in the same room and you sit there and say, okay, what's the biggest challenge we have with our customer? And the answer is completely different. You get operations and customer experience in the same room and you ask them the same question about what is the biggest challenge that we have with a product? And you're going to get a very different, you know, answer. So it's a matter, if you can get the different departments to actually talk amongst themselves and understand what the others are hearing from the customer, it's amazing how you can elevate the brand and be able to make the entire company better by being able to sit there and say, wait a second, we never thought of that, or we never heard that, or we didn't know that, and be able to integrate it into making everybody better and making the organization better. So how do you go about bringing different teams together and making them, you know, talk openly?
Mm-hmm. Well, that consensus building on the part that you're talking about defining the problem. So there's two parts to that where, you know, getting everybody to the table to build consensus around what is the problem that we need to work on. And then the second part is what is the solution that we're going to try and that we're going to experiment with. And, you know, part of the playful mindset that I talk about is about experimenting, you know, not being attached to ideas and being willing to try a lot of different approaches. Being willing to fail is a big part of that. So one tool that we use is
being allowed to fail.
Being not just allowed to fail, but celebrating those failures. Absolutely. As well. You know, creating an improv, you know, which is another tool of mine, using improv, not about being funny, but just about all the benefits of that we use in improv with yes and celebrating failure. And failure can be expensive, and it's absolutely necessary to move forward and innovate and be creative and stay relevant. So, one of the tools would be dot voting. So we use some voting methods, and just having that equal time to talk, and the fact that everyone is focused, distraction-free, listening to each person at the table talk, that's pretty powerful to get everyone moving in the same direction to do that consensus building. But I've never seen anything like it.
Right. How do you do dot voting? Give me an example of dot voting.
Yeah. So we would create the models with the Lego. Then we would do post-it notes of the various ideas that were pulled out of each model. Let's say we're designing the problem or or on the solution side, and we'd put them up on the wall, and everyone would get, say, 3 stickers, and they would put those stickers on the challenge that they wanted to work on or on the solution that they wanted to work on.
Gotcha. So what you would do is say, okay, these are the top. Now that we've done the entire ideation, we've sat there and said, okay, here's 32 different solutions of a different way we could go. Yep. Everybody gets to sit there and say, okay, here's the top 3 ideas that we think has the best merit. And so what do you do? That's a great way just to narrow down the focus, to sit there and go, let's go from 32 ideas down to 3 that we can sit there and say, okay, now let's deep dive on these 3 ideas.
Yeah, so we go from the divergent thinking in the ideation where everyone is, you know, bringing all their different perspectives and experiences to the table to come up with as many ideas as possible, to convergent thinking where we're bringing them together and finding commonalities and grouping them together. So there may be more than 3 up there when they're voting. So converging all those ideas together. Yeah, okay. We need a little bit of both of those types of creativity.
So when you're dealing with senior management or whoever's bringing you in, CEOs, owners, presidents of the company, whatever, what are the conversations you're initially having with these people that they realize that they need to bring you in? What are the type of things, you know, what are the type of things that they're saying? What are the type of challenges and issues that they're typically having that sit there and go, oh, we need to bring Kirsten in?
Mm-hmm. Well, it might, so I'd say the top one is about team communication cohesion. So that would be like, there's some conflict, there's some communication issues, there's some workflow issues. Something about the team not working at its optimum. That would be the number one. Then probably a second to that would be creativity and innovation, that a team like a marketing and communications team or an engineering team is looking to stay on top of their game with creativity. Or it might be a change management issue that they're just been acquired, or they are having a big rollout of their values, culture issues. So that would be the thing about the Lego serious play part is that it can be applied to almost any messy, complicated, complex challenge that a team is having.
Right.
So I'm not coming in as the expert, unless I'm coming in doing a keynote. I'm not coming in as an expert. I'm really coming in as a facilitator in that situation. You know, someone who is an expert in bringing out the answers in the room. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to me and says they're having a challenge with strategy, yes, Lego Serious Play can be used to, figure out your whole next quarter or your next year ahead or a 5-year plan visioning. So it is unbelievable how diverse it is, but those are my top 3 areas that my bigger clients ask me to work with.
Right. And what kind of preparation would you do before you walked into the room? Like, what are the type of things that you would want to either know about the company or understand before you walk in the room?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the preparation is about getting the Lego ready.
Of course.
Yes. And the part about designing the actual workshop. So I think I mentioned that they're usually around 3 or 4 hours to 7 or 8 hours. So they can be like a two-day retreat to really get dive deep. If you're doing something that's like an hour, then it's really a sampler of what Lego Serious Play is, and you barely get a taste of it. I say that's like a Costco size sampler, not even a
room. Yeah, that's not what even we did an hour, and it was wait a second, I just started. I want to play more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, the preparation does happen in the discovery call capabilities. We talk about, you know, what's going on for them, their biggest challenges, and then I work that into the day. But there's a lot of skills building, get people comfortable using the Lego, get comfortable using Lego as a metaphor to explain, this red brick is my boss, or this red brick is the building that I work in, or this wheel represents, our workflow. They can represent anything. So it's very open-ended. People don't get hung up like they might with drawing, thinking, oh, I'm no good, I'm not creative. Everyone's instantly creative when it comes to Lego. Everyone gets comfortable very quickly.
And my question is, well, 2-part question. One, do you find it works better when senior management is either in or out of the room?
Oh, absolutely in the room. Yeah, I would say in the room. Now, sometimes I'm just working with senior management. So sure. It might be the C-suite, or sometimes it's just a team. The more people that are involved, the more stakeholders that are involved in the issues, the better. As far as ideal sizes go, nine, 12 to 19 people is ideal, but I've been working a lot with teams that are closer to 20 to 30 people.
Right, but that's a big team.
It is. They are big teams, and it's a little bit harder to share. You don't get to hear everybody's story. Right. When you get to 30 people, you're sharing with your table, which is also valuable. But, so 12, like an executive round table of 12 people, 15 people is great because everyone gets to share.
Gotcha.
We've even done a workshop for a bank that for their VIP clients where it was designing a retirement you love. So using nice. Design thinking to just figure out, what are you going to do with your future?
Well, we're getting to the end of the show, and I got two questions I want to ask you. One is, how do people get in touch with you? Mm-hmm. So let's ask that question, then I'll ask you the last one.
Sure. People can either go to my website, where my email is also on there, kirsten@integrateplay.com. Or, of course, I love to connect with people on LinkedIn. That's always fun. So Kirsten Anderson. And actually, I think I have a new LinkedIn handle. But anyways, Kirsten Anderson in Vancouver. So those are probably the two easiest ways. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Kirsten Playing.
I'll make sure all that is in the show notes on Friday when we have the replay. So that's there. And the last question I like to ask people is, when you leave a meeting, when you walk out of the room and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Well, I really would love, and I do love it when I get this feedback about that people experience joy. So they experience joy in their bones and feel like the joy that they felt is going to make a lasting difference in their life.
That's great. So we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for being part of the show, Kirsten. Hang out in the green room. I'm going to go to commercial, come back. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, and we'll wrap the show up.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
And we're back. And thanks very much, Kirsten, for being on the show. You know what? It's interesting to me when we talk about, businesses today. Businesses today need to change. And we need to sit there and say the worst curse is we've always done it this way. That's the way we do things. And that tends to be the way that a lot of businesses think, especially businesses that have been around for a while. So they say, we've always dealt with our customers this way. We've always dealt with our employees this way. We've always hired this way. We've always promoted this way. We've always done everything this way. It's a new world. And we need to start thinking about different ways to engage both of our customers and our internal customers. Our internal customers, our employees, are vital to our success. And that's a lot of the work that we do in terms of consulting, in terms of the workshops, et cetera, to be able to understand of how to retain and to grow the rockstar millennial employees. It's all about sitting there going, okay, how do we understand how they think? How do we understand that, you know what, they're under an enormous amount of pressure within social media. Every single day in their feeds, they see these 22, 23, 24-year-old people that are senior vice presidents of whatever, making God knows how much money. And they turn around and look at themselves and sit there and go, well, why not me? What am I doing wrong? What's with me that I'm not having the same success that they are? And the problem is 98% of the people out there are not having that type of success. But the belief in the world is that they are. And it's being able to look at employees and be able to sit there and say, look, how do we help you achieve your success? What does success look for you? What are your goals? And let's help you get there. And you're not going to get there tomorrow, and you may not get there the day after that, but let's build a path together to understand this is why you're valuable to us. These are the things that we think that you can do. These are the things we want to understand what you want to do in the company. And be able to build individual plans for people so they understand how they can succeed within the organization, what their path to success is, why they matter, and how they help move the needle of the corporation, and how what they do makes the company better. Because if you can do that, if you can help people understand what their path to success is and why they matter, that 18-month horrible revolving door that's happening within companies where you look at people's resumes and you go 6 months here, 9 months here, 18 months here, 22 months here, 6 months here, and you look through their resume and you go, oh my God, they haven't been anywhere or anything. That's going to change because nobody wants to have their resume in their hand and be out there interviewing. I am convinced of it. People want to stay within organizations, but they want to stay because they think they matter. They want to stay because they believe in the organization and their values and what they're trying to achieve. And they see their path to success and they see how they are able to help make the company better. So the more we can have conversations from management down and from millennials up, and you know, Gen Z's coming in right behind them, and trust me, the Gen Zs that are the 18, 19, 22-year-old people are not the same as millennials. They are not millennial 2.0s. They are completely different, and that's another conversation. But the more we can understand that it's a different world in terms of social media, in terms of immediacy, in terms of information that's out there, and be able to make internal champions and give people purpose and belief that they have value in the company, on a regular basis and have those ongoing communications with people, the better off we are. Because people say, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. Do you really have the time to have people that are disengaged? Do you really have time to have people quit on you at the moment's notice and then have to go through a rehiring and a retraining process? Think about the money, the time, and the effort that it costs from the minute somebody quits to the minute you actually get the next person up and running and trained and ready to go. The money that is spent is astounding. The time that is spent is astounding. And if we spent that same time, energy, and money training our employees and giving them the path to success and allowing them to be able to be successful, it's amazing the type of things that will happen to a company. All of a sudden, you have champions of the brand. They're talking on social media about how wonderful the company is. They're bringing in people like them into the company to be better employees. They're talking to customers in a more relevant way. They're, you know, building customer experience for the customers that makes the company better. And the company is making more money and is being more successful and is growing. And all that happens because there's better and more effective communication. And that's the work that we do. You know, come and visit me at yourbrandmarketing.com. Come, you know, connect with me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. Let's have that conversation. How can we help make your company better? How can we help you grow? How can we make you more effective? How can we help you communicate more effectively on the inside of the company and make things better? Everybody, this has been the Your Living Brand Live show. Thank you for being part of the show this week. The replay is every Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning at yourlivingbrand.live. You know, we replay the show on iHeartRadio, on SoundCloud, on iTunes, on Spotify. You know, but today it is all about you. So thank you all for being part of the show. Thank you for being part of this. And we really appreciate you being here. Thanks for all the listeners. Thanks to Rebel and thanks to Kirsten. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the West Coast at yourlivingbrand.live. See you then on K4HD Radio.
been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand Live Show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?